Says, one rainy afternoon, I was driving along the main streets of town, taking those extra precautions necessary when the roads were wet and slick. Suddenly, my daughter Aspen spoke up from her relaxed position in her seat and said, Dad, I was thinking of something. The announcement usually meant she had been pondering this question for quite some time. Now she was ready to expound. Her full six-year-old mind had to think. And I was eager to hear. I said, what are you thinking? She said, the rain. She began, it's like sin. And the windshield wipers, they're like God washing away the sin. I said, as the goosebumps left my arms, I said, that's really good, Aspen. How far would this girl take this? I said, did you notice the rain keeps on coming? What does that tell you? Aspen didn't hesitate one moment with her answers. She said, we keep on sinning, and God keeps on forgiving us. And I like emails like that. If you got one you want to send me, I appreciate it. Today's lesson, as I said, Bobby said something last week that made me realize I had an outline in my file somewhere. And I had titled it, If I Had But One Sermon to Hear. You remember what he said that last week? If I had but one sermon to hear. You know, there's a lot of preachers today in the pulpit all over the world. Thousands of them. Some of them on the TV, some of them on radio. And I think of the awesome responsibility these people have to preach the truth. And as I said, the nothing but the truth. I also think of the awesome responsibility that our Sunday school teachers have. You know, we don't know when any lesson that we hear, or any lesson that we happen to be presenting, in this case, will be the last sermon that somebody's going to hear. And it might be. It might be even somebody here might hear their last sermon today. This is a fearful responsibility upon anybody that preaches the gospel. And I've tried to think of what type of sermon would I like to hear if I were hearing my last sermon? And especially what type of sermon would I like to hear if I were not a Christian and hearing my last sermon? What would you want? Me, I'd want it to be simple. I'd want it to be the truth, the plain truth. I'd want the preacher to be very sincere. I'd want him to tell me what I needed to know. I wouldn't want the preacher to leave out something because he didn't want to hurt my feelings. Above all, I don't want him to say what he thinks about something. I want him to talk to me about Christ. While you think upon this line, we read in the Bible a story just exactly like this. A man who hears, as far as we know, one sermon. That's found in Acts 8, if you'll turn to me and read along with me, beginning at verse 26. You're familiar with the story. It's the story of Philip and the eunuch. As far as the Bible says, the eunuch heard one sermon, had one lesson preached to him. Beginning at verse 36 of Acts 8. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasures, had come up to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and said to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except someone should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He is led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who should declare his generation, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Remember those last four words, preached unto him Jesus. And they went on their way and came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Here we have an Ethiopian nobleman had traveled probably 1,000 miles or more to worship. Of course, he worshiped the Old Testament way. So this meant that he is either a proselyte or a Jew. But God was so concerned about this man that he sent one preacher out on the Gaza Road to talk to him and teach him. Teach him the power of God unto salvation. You know, we can't help but wonder why this man had been to Jerusalem to worship, and here we had thousands of new Christians. Why didn't someone talk to him about Christ? Or was it then like it is now? They didn't take the time. Maybe they didn't care. Maybe they're too busy. But we have a man here worshiping under the old law, the law that was no longer in effect. Why didn't somebody talk to him? You have to wonder, don't you? The part of the story I'd like to give special emphasis is on verse 35. He preached to him Jesus. We don't know more other than the fact that he started preaching in Isaiah 53:7-8. Beginning with this prophet Isaiah, he first told of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. At this point, we're more or less left on our own exactly what is said. We don't know everything that was in the sermon except he preached unto him Jesus. We know that he spoke of Isaiah's prophecies of the Messiah. Somehow we think that Philip said, in our own time, these marvelous predictions have come to fulfillment. Maybe he quoted John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a good chance that he talked about the purpose that Christ came. Matthew 1:21 said, It is he that shall save him from his sins. I'd like to think that he talked about the birth of Jesus. I'm told that from Gaza, you can look back and see the hills of Judea where Jesus was born there at Bethlehem. And as if you remember, Joseph and Mary fled with the baby Jesus, a good chance right down this same road when they went to Egypt. And no doubt they returned on this same road when they came back to Nazareth, where Jesus grew from a boy to manhood. He could have told the eunuch about Jesus' visit to Jerusalem, as recorded in Luke 2, when he was only about 12 years old, when he had discussions, questions and answers with the doctors and the wise men of this day. And then during this time, Luke 2:52 said, Jesus advanced in stature and wisdom in the favor with God and man. I'd like to believe that Philip mentioned many important occasions when Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist, as recorded in Matthew 3, 14 and 17. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But Jesus answered and said, Suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3, 14 through 17. I'm sure as the chariot wheels continue to go on down the road, Philip more than likely told him about the temptations that Christ had after the 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, how that Satan tempted him. I'm sure that during this time there was great spiritual strength and loyalty to God followed, and because he had to conquer the temptations of Satan. Because the salvation of mankind hung in the balance. More than likely he would somewhere in the discussion talk about the disciples that followed him. They talk about the 12 apostles. I'm sure Philip mentioned the miracles. You know, Philip himself had known people who had been blind and could now see. He knew of people who had been lame and could now walk. He knew people who were dumb and could now speak. He knew people who were lepers and were now whole again. He even knew people who were dead and were now living. A lot of the miracles of Jesus. I don't know, maybe he talked about Jesus walking on the waters of Galilee and feeding the thousands of people with a few loaves and a few fishes. I'd like to believe he quoted John 20, 30 and 32. And many other signs therefore did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which I have not now time to tell you, but I mention these that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in his name. I believe that he told him the important incidents in the life of Jesus. There would be the conversation with the woman at the well in Smyrna, where Jesus taught the important lesson on true worship. There would be the Good Samaritan. Brother Bobby talked about that last week. Story of the prodigal son. I believe that he'd talk about the transfiguration, where Jesus was exalted above Moses and Elijah. I believe he would talk about Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and probably the parables that Jesus concerning the kingdom and the importance of Christ's church. I think Philip would tell him about the hatred that the high priest and the Pilate had for him. He would of necessity had to tell about his betrayal and crucifixion and the resurrection. And again, the appearance after his resurrection to the hopeful future. Somewhere in the preaching, he would have to tell about the church and the plans that Christ had for it to spread throughout the world for the saving of soul. Of course, there had of necessity to tell him how to become a Christian. For God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. John 3:16. Everyone who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32 and 33. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3 and 5. Of course, there had to be a lot of words back and forth, questions, instruction. We don't know the whole story, but he had to tell him the whole story of Christ. The only thing we know is in verse 35 where he said he preached unto him Jesus. Undoubtedly, too, he told about what we read in John 14 about life beyond this life. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I go, there you may go also. John 14, 1 through 3. Then somewhere toward the end of the sermon, must have been the word we read in Matthew 7, beginning at verse 24. Matthew 7, 24 through 30, 27. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them, shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and it fell, for it fell not, before it was founded on the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the flood came, as the wind blew upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Possibly he mentioned Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and sup with him, and me. Now we don't know the exact contents of the sermon. Just as we read in verse 35, he preached unto him Jesus. Let's read on, starting with verse 36 again. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught him away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. The question that the preacher asks you before you're baptized, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is an example right here. Then the exact 10 words that you answer, either I do or yes, or I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The exact same thing. This great story began with a man who knew very little, or maybe even nothing, about the Savior. But the end of the story, he was a Christian. We need to remember that in spite of all that's written, even thousands of books, Christianity centers around Christ. It centers around his preaching of the gospel for the salvation of the souls of man. Today, we have the same God. We have the same Lord. We have the same church. We have the same way of salvation. The same need to be saved. And right now we offer the same invitation. If you need the prayers of the congregation, or if you would like to become a Christian just as the eunuch did, we urge you to come as together we stand and sing.